Hi everybody, this is Vance Stevens in Abu Dhabi. It's my birthday, 2011, December 26th. It'll be my birthday again next year at this time. A few people have come to help me celebrate, mainly Daria Kulavuz Onal gathered us together because she wanted to interview me having to do with her her dissertation. She'll tell us about that in a moment. We're here for learning together. We try to meet every Sunday. Well, since Sunday was Christmas and Daria wanted to do this on my birthday, so we decided to move it up a day. But anyway, we have with us Rita Weinsteiner from Argentina, Indrit from, he's in Doha at the moment with my son, Glenn, who's there as Glenn Aldo. And he's teaching English in Doha. And then Doris Molero, we were just chatting earlier. She's a longtime friend from Venezuela, somebody I've never met except in Second Life, never met her in real life. One of these days, I have to rectify that. And Daria, of course. So hi, Daria. Tell us why we're here.
Hello, everybody. So my name is Daria. I am originally from Turkey, but right now, for about 5 years almost, I've been living in the States doing my PhD studies. For my dissertation, I got to know WebHeads in 2007 in the BAL workshop of that year. And after that, actually, it kind of affected my, I was applying for PhD programs in the States, and my participation in the WebHeads community at that time kind of influenced my whole life, and I chose to come to this program here, which is on second language acquisition and instructional technology together. And since then, I always wanted to do something for my dissertation, something with WebHeads, but it only occurred to me to do an online ethnography of WebHeads in summer 2010. I decided to do something like that. So for about a year now, I've been collecting data. I've been participating to an extent, not like all the other WebHeads, collecting data from my observations and from my experiences, taking field notes, doing observations, participating in synchronous and synchronous events, and interviewing people. So that's what I have been doing. And as one of the main activities of this community, I realized that learning together events are one of the main activities. So I was also taking a lot of notes on those events, and I participated some of them synchronously, and some of them I watched from the recorded recordings. And I realized that I didn't talk to Lance about them. I was reading through some of the notes that he had on the wiki or in the email list about those events, but I had never talked to him about the idea behind it, how did it come through, why the online convergence was replaced, etc. So I wanted to talk to him about that, and he wanted to make it a learning together event again. So that's why we are here today, to talk about those unique events and the kind of behind the scenes, and how is it going now, I am also wondering. Yes, Doris, I totally agree that once a web head, you are forever a web head. I kind of try not to call myself a web head right now, although I feel like one, because of research purposes, like I have to keep a distance while I also need to be a participant, so it was kind of challenging for me too. So that's why we are here today. But also, we are here to celebrate Lance's birthday. So, happiest ever birthday, Lance.
Yeah, thanks very much, Daria. Daria, let's see, just a little coaching on the microphone. You should move it down below your mouth where when the air comes out, it won't puff into the microphone, and keep it steadily close to your mouth and just below it so we get steady volume from you. But you're audible, not a problem. Well, thanks very much. Appreciate people dropping by for my birthday. Some of my favorite people are here. And it looks like we should really be interviewing Daria. I'd like to find out more about what you're discovering. And we'll see how it goes. We know if maybe we can have you back for a session where we just talk to you about your research and find out what you're finding out. So thank you very much for doing that.
I will definitely share what I have when I start analyzing. This year I was only collecting data, and while collecting data, I had, some things occurred to me in terms of how some concepts are happening in this community, like participation, I think, has different meanings. And some values of the community, you can easily see how it passes through the events, through the activities, although like they are not explicitly said. But when I start analyzing the data, it will be more, I guess, salient, and then I will be more than happy to share of those results and of my findings, actually. Okay. Shall I continue with my interview questions, or okay. So I have actually I have two themes here. One is the how the transition happened. Why there was this need, and how did the idea come about? How did the project start? And what is the difference, or what is the similarity between these, especially these two events? I know that the online convergence was a biannual event, and it was a three-day event. But Learning Together is happening every Sunday. And I see that there is always something every Sunday. So it's like for about a year now, there was always something on a Sunday on Learning Together. So it seems like there is no shortage of events here too. And once we talk about the background, how that transition happened, how this idea came about, and then I thought we may talk about what are the significance of those events, and in general, how is a presentation set up, what happens after that, and in your opinion, what signifies these events, what are the characteristics, why is it Learning Together, and why it's the number two, but not the two in words, for example, and what is your role in this whole project, and what is the significance of these events to the whole community? And I would appreciate if others have ideas about those questions as well. I mean, everybody is welcome to make comments. So shall we start with my first theme? I kind of put questions there, so you don't need to answer them in order, or it might be just like our talk would be around these items. That's why I put them there.
Yeah, that sounds like a great way to go. I guess starting with the easiest question, the two is there because if you Google learning together, all is one word or whatever, you know, you'll find just a massive amount of sites. I think I experimented with different names. I can't remember what they are off the top of my head, but I finally settled on learning together because the T-O-G-E-T-H, that was taken probably about a million times. Well, I exaggerate, I suppose. But anyway, I defaulted on that one because it was available in PBWorks. And it's also available in Postgres, which is a little easier to get. You could probably have a wider choice of learning togethers there. So basically, the way this site works, I use the wiki to announce the events. And one reason I use a wiki is that I was kind of hoping that other people would write in their events, and sometimes they do. The idea is that anybody could find an available date and write their name down. In practice, I generally have to go beating the bushes to get people to present, but as you say, there's really no shortage. In fact, if you look on the front page, you'll see there's kind of a waiting list that I'm planning to tap into because we're moving into the EBO sessions. You mentioned the BAW session, becoming a webhead. That's one of the longest running EVO sessions. EVO is Electronic Village Online. Maybe there are some, Doris and Rita, I believe, have both moderated an EVO. Maybe you'd like to say a word here about that?
Well, yes, Vance. Is my voice clear enough to everybody? Just want to know that. Because I've changed my PC, so I need to know that voice is working okay. I have moderated twice, I guess, and I'm really sorry to have had to say that I can't possibly go on moderating for a while because every single January I'm taking a group of students to England, and that's the only month in which the students can travel, so I'm missing out all this chance of joining the group, which is a marvelous group of people always ready to share and work for free and give out all their knowledge and pass on information and work in groups, because that doesn't mean that they just work on the spot. They prepare a lot of material beforehand and they spend a lot of time bearing in mind that all the new webcasts that they're going to gather are all people who need the information that they're going to pass on to them. So every single year, I guess, the information gets really more and more. I mean, they have more things to say, more things to inform, and more programs and tools to share. So it becomes really tough for some of the people who are still working. And anyway, they do it really very fondly, and I appreciate the work, and I really thank everybody, because the way we have learned has been that. I mean, we have gathered all the knowledge we have by working together. I joined the community when it was at the beginning of the, I think it was 2002, and I can say that everything I know, I need to thank Vance and the whole community for sharing with me all the knowledge I have. So thank you very much, Vance, for always being there, and you've been really the pillar of all these gatherings and all this knowledge and everything. And well, there are lots of people who really appreciate what you do and what you are doing, and many working on this as well. So every single year the success is really there every January. So thanks to everybody, and the floor is anybody's.
I think Indrid has taken some of the sessions. He was certainly in maybe the last multiliteracy session. Would you like to say a word, Indrid?
Hello. Actually, I found out about webheads just last summer, and because it was summer and I was on holiday, I couldn't benefit a lot, but I took the last course of multiliteracies, and I have been here on and off just attending, joining some sessions, and I could say I have benefited a lot, and I look forward to the January to start one or two, to join one or two other courses offered by you. And from that time on, I hope I'll always be with you and benefit and share ideas with you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we might throw Electronic Village Online into the mix of learning together, as the last two speakers have pointed out. So actually, Webhead started, as Rita was mentioning, well, the session started in January 2002, but the group kind of came together in December, and Rita was one of the original people there. I think Doris might have been also. Is that right, Doris? When did you join? She might be away from keyboard. If you come back, Doris, just give us a little hands up or something like that. When we started Webheads in 1998, actually, and then the teachers group in 2001, there were online conferences at the time, but they tended to charge money. There was one in teaching in the community colleges, for example. Well, actually, there were a few online conferences seemed to be a logical way for us to go, but there was always a paywall back in those early days, last century. And I came to see how people put on their own conferences. I think we might have been kind of the first really truly grassroots conference in 2007. We had this idea that we could just stage our own conference without money, without just having people come together, and the group was really strong and cohesive, and it was kind of a novelty back then. Because, you know, Derry, you're studying something that's gone through a lot of transition. You mentioned transition, yes, right there on your slide. And also the world has transitioned. It was really unique back then to get a lot of people together and just put on a conference. But that's what we did. And in 2007 and 2009, we had a vetting system. You know, we refereed it. We had people sort of put in formal proposals, and then we had a committee, and the committee decided whether they should be there or not. And in those 2 years, I just noticed we never really rejected anybody. If we did reject them, it was because they just didn't follow through, and so they probably weren't serious. And people, we just noticed that people sort of self-selected to, if they were going to present, they were going to make a quality presentation, because, you know, their reputation is on the line. Maybe some people signed up for slots. We didn't really know them. They didn't show up. That very rarely happened. But they were marathon events. We just ran them for 3 days. We had some really nice speakers, Stephen Downs, Etienne Wenger, Kurt Bonk, Wesley Fryer, Dave Cormier. I mean, you can go back and look. I just mentioned a few. David Noonan spoke at the first one for free, which is kind of unusual, you know, but people really rallied around and wanted to share the information, the knowledge, I like to call it knowledge. That's what George Siemens talked at one, and that's his idea, and Stephen Downs, is that knowledge is what gets disseminated around these networks. Anyhow, I spoke about 2007, 2009, and in 2011 we did it again, but in 2011 we did away with the vetting. That was just a pain in the you-know-what. So we had, you know, no difference in quality. I mean, it was just superb. Kim Cofino was there, and Jeff Utrecht, and I can't really remember all the speakers, but just thinking that this was the last one. But these 72-hour marathon conferences have 72 time slots. We didn't really fill all of them, 72 consecutive hours. There were times that were, you had a few hour gaps, but you know, it's coming out to about 52 presentations, more or less, and if we do something weekly, it's a lot less trouble, and we get the same number of presentations. Everything is recorded. Everything, they're all recorded anyway. We had Jeff LeBeau and World Bridges has always chipped in and come to our assistance, whatever we ask. He has the EdTech Talk. It's actually edtechtalk.com. Right now, he's involved. Jeff is involved in ChangeMOOC. He's into Hangouts, Google Hangouts, and he comes on with weekly events. In fact, he's going to help us kick off the EVO session January 8th, two Sundays from now. So in a nutshell, that's kind of how those two, that's the seg between those two. The Webheads in Action online convergence, I just didn't have the heart to do it. And, you know, I think I misspoke on the years, by the way. We did it in 2005. That was our first one. Definitely 2007 was our second one, 2009 our last one, and then when we 2011 was coming around, the dynamic is changing a little bit. A lot of people put on free online conferences. That's not so unusual anymore. And there's a really great conference that Peggy George was telling us about just a couple of Sundays ago, the K-12 online conference, which is past now, but you can get the recordings. If you can get iTunes to work, I'm having a lot of trouble with that. iTunes U, actually, you have to go to. But in any event, there's they started in 2005, I think, or 2006. I think it was 2006 because it was after our conference. So we did the first one, and then they did a similar one in the K-12. They pitched it at K-12, but those K-12 people are really at the cutting edge, and they do some really innovative things. I mentioned Kim Cofino and Jeff Utecht there, and Wesley Fryer, one of our presenters. They're all instrumental in the K-12 movement. So, but basically, there are just lots of conference opportunities. And right now, there are the MOOCs, massive open online courses. It seems that there's one going on all the time, and the ones that go on, the one that ChangeMOOC is going on now, takes place over 9 months. It's really an interesting event. Some people say it's easy to ignore because it just goes on and on. But I'm planning to make it a part of our multiliteracies course next time around. And I'm going to have to catch up on what's going on in ChangeMOOC. But anyway, those are some of the really interesting events that are going on. So I think maybe one of those questions, how did the idea come about? It was in response to a need for bringing the sharing out in the open, which is really an idea that's caught on because it hasn't caught on from Webheads. It's just caught on spontaneously. It's just we were a little ahead of the curve. We were one of the first to do a free grassroots, or what I call classroots. There's a website. You can Google classroots. You come on the website. It's a classroots conference that we just put on for free. Sponsors, yes. We're using Illuminate right now through the grace of Learning Times. Let me just back up the slides a little bit. There's Learning Times. Learningtimes.org has never charged us a penny, has supported us in setting up websites to accumulate the recordings for all those conferences that we mentioned. And so, you know, we get support like that. It's basically a grant. And so that's the we don't charge any money, and I think it's great that we were able to keep this thing going on that basis for, well, let's see, it's been 13 years. So it started in 1998 with a student group that I was working with, and then the 2002 is when the Electronic Village Online session, Webheads in Action, took place, where Rita and Doris joined us. And so that's 2002, so it's been about 9 years for Webheads in Action. And I might say it shows no signs of abating in that we have no not much attrition, and we've moved up from a few dozen members up to a thousand or so who are registered in the Yahoo group. But it's definitely the, how would you say, the atmosphere, the dynamic has changed quite a bit. It's not the only show in town anymore, and but it's very healthy, because what WebHeads has become is it's become kind of a spot. Well, as Dave Cormier puts, it's rhizomatic. It creates a network of educators. It doesn't create, sorry, it intertwines. It's like a rhizome. It goes off, its tendrils go off and intersect, overlap with a lot of other networks. So basically we're talking about network learning and how knowledge is transferred through a distributed learning network. So I'm talking for a long time. Somebody else's turn.
Okay, so I see that, like, so you originally had the idea of an online conference, online free conference, but it was more time consuming, more challenging to put together the 3-day conference together, and then you maybe kind of, the idea was to spread it out throughout a year and to make it more like an ongoing learning event with events every week, every weekend. I was wondering if there are any differences in terms of participation. You mentioned that, like, in terms of the kinds of events that took place, or in terms of kinds of presentations that took place in the convergence versus the learning together events, I think there are not many differences, right? Like you said, we basically accepted almost all the proposals, and there were both, like, people, like well-known people in this area, or in the that there were great talks. There were also other people who wanted to share their projects, ideas, etc. So in terms of that, I see, like, there's similarity between learning together events too. Like, I see, for example, from my own notes, I see that there are actually wording also is different. You sometimes say, like, there's this presentation by a person, or we will discuss something, or this person will be interviewing, or there will be this talk. So I think, like, the in terms of characteristics, there are talks, there are discussions, there are informal discussions, there are interviews, there are presentations, there are chats going on in those events as well. I was wondering, in terms of participation, like, was there any difference in terms of participation by the people, or the like in the convergence, did you have more WebHeads or more like a lot of other people? Or in those learning together events, do you have more WebHeads coming? Or I know that you're announcing those events, for example, in other communities or platforms as well. So, is there any participation from other people who don't necessarily consider themselves as WebHeads?
Okay, taking on the many layers of that question, big difference between the convergence, you know, when you announce an event, this is going to happen on this date 3 months from now, you can sort of build it up as you go. And also, what we would do, we would always lock in a few presenters. Like, let's see, the last one, 2009, I'm clicking, oh, I think I'd better, okay, anyway. Did you follow me to the presenters Are you in the presenters window now? Did it change for you? I just clicked on 2009 presenters. Yes, okay. Yeah, so you can see the presenters. We got Dr. Sugata Mitra, who made a little hole in the wall in India. David Warlick, one of my favorite people. Nancy White, Joseph Colpart, who edits the Cal Journal. Alec Koros, a real edupunk from Saskatchewan. Wesley Fryer, I mentioned. Joe Kay, she's really big in Second Life. Angie Mulder is, I wonder if I've spelled that correctly. No, I'm thinking of somebody else. Alexander Hayes, Dave Cormier, Kim Cofino, and Jeff Utek, as I mentioned earlier. And that's just in 2009. So what we would do is we'd get these people to agree, and then once they'd agree, we would announce that this conference is going to take place at such and such a date, and then once, so you sort of seeded the thing, you know, with these big names, and then the rest of it just kind of falls into place. It's an endeavor that everybody wants to happen. When you have an endeavor that everybody wants to happen, you don't have any enemies, then this endeavor is quite likely to succeed. And so WebHeads kind of builds on that premise. So even the people, it's kind of like the famous gallery of faces on the WebHeads pages. When I started that in 1998, I was working with students, and I asked the students to send me a photo. And of course, they were very hesitant at first. And finally, someone sent a photo, and then someone else did. And then now we had 4 photos, and all of a sudden, 10 people. And it sort of snowballed. Everybody who signed up for joined the Yahoo group, you know, they were quite happy to send their photos and add them to the collection. So it's that kind of dynamic, you know. So that's one of the differences. As far as participation is concerned, when in those showcase events, we have big names. We have a lot of people online. In the 2005 one, that was really interesting because since it was the first time any of us had done anything like that, we were telling people in 2005 that they were going to use Illuminate, and people were saying, "What do you mean? You know, people don't know how to use Illuminate. They don't know how to work a microphone, you know." Well, and Daria just troubleshot hers, but you can imagine if you, in 2005, if you get a lot of people in these spaces. Well, we set up help. We set up a help desk and tapped in. Somebody was there, tried to have people there all the time. We put tutorials up. People wrote, some of the reactions we got were that it was, well, Susan Nyroff used to call it was chaos navigation. Some people don't mind that and find they learn from it. So we found that people were saying that they were learning quite a lot just from the act of the process of going through and trying to interface with in the presentations. It was really unusual. So now that's not so so unusual anymore. Although the MOOC, Change MOOC that's going on with all these other big names is having a lot of trouble finding a nice place that everybody can use and that works well. But so the participation also tended to be maybe you get 10 or 20 people in a presentation, and this goes on every hour for 3 days, or almost every hour. There was time for sleep. We had it set up so people in different parts of the world would sort of look after a part of the program so some of us could sleep, because we did find that was necessary. Anyway, it was very stressful, and but it was, we sort of focused everything. It was like a lens focusing sunlight into one spot. It was really hot. It took really well, but it just got tiring. And also, things kind of happened in my life in 2011. I'm between jobs this year, and I just wasn't having the right amount of time to organize this. And also, I was thinking, geez, why am I organizing? Or, you know, I mean, other people, if somebody wants to do it, then we'll have this will sort of spontaneously combust. But it didn't for 2011. So that's when I kind of got the idea to just take it in a milder tone. And as far as participation, the change in participation, here you see that we only have 5 people here. And maybe because it's my birthday, it was a really good ploy to make it a birthday thing so we get an audience. Because when I spoke with Peggy George, a great conversation just a couple of weeks ago, we had it at 1500 GMT, that's right about now, and a very unpopular time. It was a change time. Well, it was just the two of us talking. We had a great conversation. We recorded it. I've got to podcast it. It didn't. The fact that there was nobody there didn't stifle the conversation. You never know who's going to turn up. And also, I've been working a second job, which I just turned in the grades today. I just got that out of the way, so I'm back now where I can. I've got my afternoons free, so I can get it back onto a regular schedule. Noon GMT, 1300 GMT, and give it some predictability. But we've been kind of moving off that, and it's been a little bit, I suppose people might have been coming around at 1300 GMT and not finding anything and not bothering to look. There is one webhead who used to write me all the time and say, where is it this time? And I would say, well, it's in this, you just go to learningtogether.pbworks.com, and he says, that's too difficult, I need one URL for it. I said, well, how about webheads.info? That's a nice one, you can go there. And he didn't seem to like that. He thought it should have just one URL for that. So, I mean, I'm taking his feedback on board, but this is the maybe you can tell me if that needs to be clearer, that this is where we go nowadays. If you can go there and find Learning Together, then it succeeds. If you can't, then it doesn't succeed. Okay. Anyway, I don't know if we need to. I don't know how long you've got. I've got time, but we are coming up to the hour, so maybe we should get focused on the last few questions.
Okay. I have some time to. If you would like to focus more on the Learning Together events right now, like how, why, what was the reason of that name that you put together? Why did you want to call them Learning Together? And like, what are the characteristics and what is your role in those events? Like, what do you do for these events?
Well, pretty much the same in a way as what I did for starting Webheads. And in Webheads in Action, the EVO session, got somebody drilling in a wall. I don't know if you've been hearing construction noises going on. Anyway, sorry if that bothers anybody, but maybe I can switch it off if it happens. Okay. What I did in the original Webheads in Action sessions was I had successfully established a community of ESL learners, and what I wanted, and it was getting, it was attracting a lot of language practitioners, and the practitioners were becoming dominant and suppressing the voices of the ESL learners. That actually happened. That is, once they were suppressed, they never came back. That community kind of went by the wayside. One moment. Okay, just tried to get the buzz. I got too many mouses here. I hit the wrong mouse. That community kind of extinguished as the Webhead thrived. So the trade-off was quite good because it's actually resulted in a beautifully robust community of educators. But as Yeah, because of those buzzes, I've lost the thread. Do you want to help remind me what are we talking about? Yeah, I was getting distracted by this drilling that goes on our wall sometimes. So we were talking about what, hang on. Sorry about that. Yeah, we were talking about what gave me the idea of learning together. So, and then how is it set up? So, and I was saying that it was set up based on the same model that I taught in the EVO sessions, those original ones in 2002. That is modeling how community forms. So my role in this basically is to set up a website. I just create a space for it, and then I announce it, and then I invite people to participate. And as you see, we have only a few fans here, but the people who they happen to be here this week. But over 52 weeks in a year, you've probably got maybe 100 people coming through here. It does tie in with other communities. I'm trying to tie it in with my local TESOL Arabia community. Now, sometimes I do. They don't really pay a lot of attention to learning together, but when I involve them, that is when I specifically arrange to have one of them give a talk, then we have other in the community, others will join in. So we have, you know, quite a mix of people. Maybe Christmas time isn't a really popular time. That could be the problem with Peggy's event. People tend to be on vacation now, so. But when we're coming into EVO, Electronic Village Online, and as I think things are going to pick up, because we should have a really meaty learning together. Well, we've got one next week. I'm my co-moderator, Kalyan Chattopadhyay, is going to be with me, and we're going to talk about multiliteracies. And also, he's putting on a conference in India right now, so we'll talk about that. Yeah, and Indrid, you're more than welcome to join. The more the merrier. So the week after that, we're doing Jeff Lebeau is doing the kickoff. Not sure where we're going to hold that. Jeff likes to stream events. That's his contribution to our efforts, is that he has some credibility wherein he's known and he has an audience, so he can come to Illuminate, sit here, and stream the event out live over his network. And he does that in lots of venues, Google Hangout, Skype, things like that. So, well, you know, and of course, as we watch Jeff do these things, we learn. So I mentioned I recently changed jobs. I took a job as a writing instructor. I'm teaching one group of people who brings laptops to school, but they're wasting their time with the laptops. The teachers in general didn't know how to engage them on the laptops. So they hired me, I think, to try to turn that around. So I set up a wiki for them, sort of, you know, using the techniques that I've been modeling for other people. And I picked up a lot of tips from Carla Arena, for example, and Daphne, and Rita, and other people who have created their own websites, and I can see how those wikis can help drive learning. So basically, I can put a URL in the chat that will show you exactly what I've been doing. But so basically, you set up a space, and then you invite learners, and that includes us, to come and share that space, and then learning takes place. So it's kind of a formulaic thing. It's a critical mass sort of thing as well. It's kind of like having a party. If you when you're going to have a successful party, you've got to invite a few hundred people. You might get 25 or 30 come, but boy, it's going to be a great party. If you just invite 25 or 30 people, you might have 10 come. It's not going to be such an interesting party. So you have to be very welcoming, and you have to develop a critical mass. You get enough people into the mix. That's what a MOOC is, the Massive Open Online Course. It's massive. Because it's massive, it has lots of interaction. So I'm working on the concept of minuscule open online courses. That's the way I run the multiliteracies course. I have between 5 and 50 people in it, but it's not quite massive. So does that help answer that question?
Thank you. And like from my observations, I also I actually liked your simplistic definition of like, okay, I create the space and then I invite the learners and the learning takes place. I really like that definition and like how you kind of simplified it. I also think like from my observations, I realize that welcoming attitude as well, like whatever somebody is doing, it's worth learning about and it's worth sharing. So it kind of gives the other people or the participants or the people who want to present or kind of give a talk in as one of those events, they feel like they have something to share. They don't regard it as like something that doesn't that is not worth sharing. So I think that's one of the kind of significance of these events too. And I think it's also part of the values that the pets hold as well, like sharing is like anything is worth sharing. That's what I'm seeing in that community as well.
Well, yes, exactly. And one of my little secrets is just to make sure that the people in the that are participating have bring in their voices. So I quite purposely asked Rita and Indrit and Doris. And I don't know if I asked Glenn. I hope he doesn't feel slighted. He mentioned he was grading papers and he was just going to be on the, he's just here for my birthday. No, I don't know if he's interested in what I do. But you make sure that, because, you know, Indrit is going to say something interesting. You know, he's going to contribute. You know, he's going to learn something that we don't know and he's going to share it back. And Rita has done that time and again already. So and those are just two examples, and that's just key. It's key that you know, people I'm often thanked for starting this community, but that's about what I did, really. The thanks goes to all the people who are in the community, because the theory is that you have, that knowledge is always changing, and anybody can only have so much knowledge. And the problem when the knowledge you need to do well in your profession or your passion, when the knowledge that you need is changing all the time, you need a source of knowledge, and you can't just go to school and get a degree and say, okay, I've got the knowledge now. You know, it just doesn't work that way anymore. So, in order to succeed in the 21st century in being a manager of knowledge, you have to learn the techniques. That's what the multiliteracies course tries to do. We try to model for each other techniques that show that learning has changed, really. That's what the MOOCs are about. They're a changed way of conducting courses. There's so many, there is an Occupy movement now, Occupy Learning, you know, so the Occupy movement has caught on. There's quite a lot of discussion like that in education circles, that the fact that learning is becoming decentralized, and its advantage is that the knowledge that is in your community is available to any one person. We can call that person a node in the network. So because you are a node in the network, you have access to all the other nodes in the network. And if you need information, knowledge, tips, techniques, just send an email or get on Twitter. It will come to you. You know, so many ways you can tap in. Facebook is a really good source of knowledge. What we're doing right now, just keeping a conversation going week after week after week, we learn from one another in that way. And we have many ways of interacting with one another. And as long as we keep interacting, we keep our network moving, we keep our network open. You know, George Siemens said that the pipe is more important than the content. That was a really nice expression I keep going back to. It's not so important what's in the pipe. But the important thing is that you got the pipe working. If you got the pipe working, then you're going to get you can find a way to get the knowledge that you need. So that's basically how it works. And so if I've done anything to help, I've just created some web spaces that that help to facilitate some of that knowledge transfer. But the people in the network are the people who really make the network.
And I think those, since those events are recorded and the recordings are freely available, and the links to those recordings are also available in the wikis. I think that also kind of, like you say, right now, for example, there are 5 people participating, but this is the participation only that happens only synchronously. So maybe there are other people who kind of participate into those events by watching them later, or kind of reviewing those recordings later. And I think since they are recorded and available online, that also kind of helps the idea of accumulating that knowledge in a place for the community, so that like it's also kind of builds upon each other, and then there's this how to say, like, cultural product of that community, I think. So there's this history of, how to say, like, from the very first Learning Together event until now, for example, for every week there are knowledge sharing, there are talks happening, so all these kind of, in a way, that builds a cultural product for that community as well. And I think because it's online, it also changes the nature of participation as well. So, like, maybe because we are here synchronously, maybe we are kind of like seemingly are active participants, but there are also other participants who are still learning from those events when they kind of watch it later.
Yeah, we're learning from each other in each other's communities. So whereas we're actively participating in Webheads, the people here, I would say, all are, Indrit, Rita, and Daria, active contributors, active conversants. We have a lot of people, I mentioned there's 1,000 in the Yahoo group alone, that who don't interact with us, but maybe they interact in their own communities. You know, there might be some who are active. A lot of the people in South America, for example, are interacting and learning with computers. Gladys Baez, a group she started. The Change MOOC that's going on right now, the World Bridges community that I mentioned, Peggy George kind of comes to us from the K-12, also Earth Bridges connections. So we're meeting each other, we're interacting with each other, and the fact that somebody, you yourself and me and Rita and Indrit, all lurk in lots of communities. We're just kind of got our ear to the ground. So as far as those people's communities are concerned, they see us as lurkers, whereas we're really active contributors somewhere. And all this comes around, you know, it all stays in the network. The network expands, that rhizomic effect. The network becomes huge, you know, because it's just got tendrils everywhere. And so all those connections focus back into the individual. You know, the individual has access to all of this. So there's so much of it going on. You know, we have our repository of recordings. There's this or that much interest in those. But the playing field has changed. I mentioned the change dynamic now. There's so much of that that the trick now is to filter it and to deal with the glut of information. So that's kind of what we're doing in multiliteracies. We're trying to learn ourselves techniques for doing that. Rita and I and a couple of other some other teachers, Doris was part of this, worked on something called Writing Matrix, where we had students blog and the students tagged their blogs at a time when we were so fortunate that Technorati would actually, we could search on blogs, postings by their tags. And so what happened was the students found one another in the different countries. And it was an experiment that worked at the time. I don't know if you could make it work now, but it worked at the time, and we learned by doing it. And you can say something about it if you want, Rita. But it certainly, you know, it's something that, it was kind of my idea, but it wasn't something that I knew how to do, you know. I just started the ball rolling, that's all. And then we all learned from that experience, and we learned how things worked a little bit online. But that's the kind of thing you need to do. Oh, have a nice, oh, okay, cool. Bye, Glenn. That's, there's an all-you-can-eat sushi, right? You want to say bye before you go? Okay. Well, anyway, if you want to say goodbye on in the recording, you want to do that?
Goodbye.
Okay, that's my son Glenn. So, yeah. So anyhow, becoming part of my personal learning network. Okay. Where else shall we take this, Daria? Oh, Rita, would you like to say something about Writing Matrix?
Yes, Vance. It was such a rich experience with my students who had never used technology into any of their classes before. And I remember their joy, their amazement at seeing how they could interact with the students from different places and how rich this experience was to them, because they learned not only how to deal with tech tools, but also how English and how technology helped them all to use the language that they had been learning for so many years, because my students had learned English for about 10 years and had always used the language to, you know, use in class, but there was no interaction whatsoever with real interaction with native speakers or non-native speakers of a language who lived in different countries. So this experience helped them understand the way they could interact thanks to this experiment that was created or was done by Vance. And through tagging, they got to know other people who were also tagging, and this Doris, I think, was from Venezuela. And who else was there, Vance? You from the Emirates, and there was someone else, I guess. I think there was another one from Argentina, and someone else. And so the students were really amazed, and they did very short recordings of their own reports, and they put it up in the blog. So I happened to learn how they felt about the experience that they had lived. And whenever I come across any of these students again, when I meet them in the streets, this has happened, this does happen a lot, they all remember that this was their first experience using the web authentically and meaningfully. So, well, it's been a great experience, and it's always a great experience involving our students into experiments like this. Thank you, Vance. This has been very fruitful again, as usual. And have a very happy new year in both senses, new year 2012 and new year in your life. A hug to you and to everybody else.
Yeah, a hug to you too, Rita. And I hope your new year is wonderful, and also Darius. Daria looks like she's going to be Dr. Daria next year, right?
Well, I hope so. I think I'm going to kind of graduate in spring 2013. So, yeah, next year, maybe in May, hopefully, I will be graduating. if I can analyze the huge amounts of data that I have right now. But yeah, I'll keep going. Thank you. So I think that my question, you kind of have answered all my questions. Do you have anything else to add that you want to?
Well, I suppose you're aware of some of the other dissertations that were done on webheads. I think maybe one of the most interesting was Chris Johnson's on webheads as a community of practice. He was working with Etienne Wenger, who was on his research committee, and he was kind of held to a Wengerian definition of communities of practice. So he was trying to decide if webheads was a community of practice or not, because according to the prescribed literature, there was an exacting requirement. And he found that webheads lacked only in one aspect, and that was that they didn't really have communities of practice need a certain space to interact in, and we didn't really have this one space. So when Etienne came to the to our online Webheads in Action online convergence in 2009, Suzanne Nyrop interviewed him as a keynote presentation, and I got to ask him if he, you know, through working with Chris Johnson, he was there also. I asked him if his encounter with Webheads had changed his ideas on communities of practice, and he said yes. He said, it's got me thinking now about this idea of space. He says Webheads hangs together in so many spaces. He says he's started to rethink that aspect of his theory. So that was a really cool observation. And also Christina Costa was in the conversation, and Etienne, and she was talking about kind of the way that people here talk about their experience with Webheads. And he asked her, when did she know she was in a community of practice? And without missing a beat, she said, when my practice changed. And that also has stuck with me for a very long time. You know, I mentioned the course, the writing courses I'm teaching right now, and Rita talked about her interactions with her students, how they got this meaningful, authentic experience through blogging. And that the kinds of things that actually change your practice, that's what the purpose of what we're doing is, and so you know that you have succeeded in your learning journey once your practice changes.
I think I agree with you that the fact that like participation in a community like this, like you got that feeling that you belong to that community when your practice changes, or when you start feeling that you are learning something, and that learning makes you a new person or a new practitioner. And I've been asking that question in the email list as well, and in my interviews with a few other webheads. Like, who is a webhead for you? And usually their answer is like, some of them said, like, when somebody is in the email list, or but I think it's also webheads is not only a community, but I feel like it's also an identity for some of us, because maybe you're not participating in the email list, like you're not contributing to the email list, you're not exchanging ideas through the email list, but in other ways maybe you're contributing, or what you have learned from that community made you a new person in your own professional life, that you still feel like a webhead, even though you're mainly lurking at that time in the community. So I think it's also, it kind of shifts our identity, and it also has a like it doesn't have a space, and also that's why maybe I see it as a distributed community, and maybe because of that and because it's long history, it's also it has become an identity in itself as well, I think. And I think that this community doesn't have a space, I think that defines an online community of practice rather than a physical community of practice as well. So, because usually, in my opinion as well, like there are some other platforms that kind of define themselves as communities, but let's say they have one website that they interact through, or they have a forum that they interact through, so maybe they are communities, but in my opinion, for an online community of practice, it should be more, or it is more likely that it's more distributed, and that it doesn't have one space to interact.
Yeah, Daria, we're getting into your next Learning Together session with Webheads, where you tell us about what you're discovering about our group. And it'll be our turn to interview you, because you sound like you're doing some really nice work. I've got some marking to do, of all things. I mentioned I'm teaching writing, so I think I'm going to have to call it an evening. And I certainly appreciate my good friend Rita for coming around and helping me with my happy birthday. It's really great to interact with all of you. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much, Lance, because you accepted my request, and we had this nice talk, and I learned more about the behind the scenes of both events, the convergence and the learning together as well. And I wish you a happiest ever birthday too.
Yeah, thanks. And on that note, I might mention that it's December 26th. That's my birthday. 2011, and we've been talking with Daria Kunavluz-Onal, and Rita Zeinsteyer is still with us to the bitter end, and I'm Vance Stevens in Abu Dhabi, and this is Learning Together, a weekly event that we've been talking about for this past hour or so. I guess we've about an hour and 15 minutes since we started the recording. Speaking of recording, when everybody leaves the room, the recording gets put in the can, as it were. I'll tweet it or post it, maybe in Learning Together. I'll post it in Learning Together, so that recording will be there. If at some point I can extract the MP3 file, like if I ever get to a point where I have some hours in my day, then I will put it as a podcast. The Postgres.com accepts uploads of MP3 files, and then we'll actually podcast them for you. Or actually, I think I had to set up a feed burner for that. But theoretically it does it. But its bandwidth isn't very good, so I'm actually having trouble downloading the podcasts from there. But I'd be interested in feedback on what other people are doing. But certainly, that is how other people are finding the podcast feed from that site. I have no feedback whatsoever. But basically, you can click on the link and you can hear the recording in Illuminate, and the recording link will work for some time anyway. So thanks very much, Daria, for inviting us and for instigating this rendition of Learning Together. It's really kind of you, and look forward to hearing more about your research.
Thank you, Vance, and thank you, Rita, for joining. And I hope I will be sharing my results, my findings soon with all of you. And I will actually, when I finish writing, I will share a copy of my dissertation with all the webheads as well. And thank you for today, too. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Happy New Year. I'll stop the recording.